Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Those words were written by the Scottish poet Robert Burns a long time ago, 230 years ago, but we can all relate to them, can't we? Have you ever had one of those days where nothing seems to go according to plan? Dale was just telling me about a day that nothing went according to plan. It happens to me every time I pretend I know how to fix something on my car. Spark plugs, brake pads, AC compressor, whatever it is. I'll read manuals, I'll watch tutorials, I'll order the parts and get everything ready to go. And then I pop the hood or take that first bolt off and all my plans just fly out the window. There's always a stripped bolt I can't get off. There's always a tool I forgot to get or an angle I just can't reach. So don't expect me to be working on Jiffy Lube anytime soon. Nothing goes according to plan. The pandemic, too, changed a lot of plans, didn't it? Plans for traveling, for vacationing, plans for visiting family members. Best laid plans of mice and men, indeed, often go awry. But there's someone who had a plan that didn't go awry. In fact, everything has gone exactly according to his plan. Not even a missing tool or a global shutdown could stop God's good plan from happening. So open your Bibles this morning if you have them, or turn back in your bulletins to Ephesians chapter 1. These verses that Pastor Wesley just read for us are all about God's good plan. They're all about what God has done for us. So we're not going to talk about our plans this morning. We're going to talk about God's plan. God's plan for us in the past, in the present, and in the future. Well, let's start with the past. Verses 3 through 5 especially talk about God's plan in the past. Things that God has been planning from the very beginning, from before the very beginning. This is just amazing to me. I don't know if you caught it when it was read, but look again at verses 4 and 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Isn't that crazy? God loves you, and he's been loving you since before the creation of the world. He's known you by name and loved you. You have always been a part of God's plan. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. God has known all about you. He's known. He's always known everything about you. He's always known exactly how many hairs are on your head. He's always known how many times you would take his name in vain. He's always known how many times you would lose your temper with your wife or with your children. He's always known how often you would doubt him and turn to another god, another idol in your life. Our omniscient God has known, has always known every one of your defects and your imperfections, your struggles and your weaknesses. But still, he loved you. And he chose you. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. If you believe in Christ this morning, you have always been a part of God's good plan. And that's because your salvation, your adoption into God's family, doesn't depend on your performance. You didn't earn this adoption. You couldn't have. It was before the foundation of the world. God decided to make you a part of his family, a part of his good plan, long, long before you were even born. The end of verse 5. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. But look what else verse 4 says. It says, you have been chosen to be holy. You have been chosen to be holy. without fault. God, in his perfect wisdom and foresight and omniscience, chose you to be holy. That doesn't mean that he looked into the future and saw that you would be holy one day, that when you were born, you would live a perfect life and never sin, never break any of God's commands. That's not what that means, is it? We know that that's not true. This verse is telling us that God decided to make us holy, to declare us holy. From before the beginning of time, God knew you by name. He loved you, and his good plan was to make you one of his holy and precious children. Before God's heavenly throne of perfect justice, you were sitting in the defendant's seat. You were absolutely guilty of every crime in the books, and they had indisputable evidence. You were guilty. But Jesus stood up. He walked to the judge, and he told him that he would take your place. All of your guilt, all of the punishment, he would take instead of you. You might be like me. You might not feel innocent this morning. You might feel sinful, unclean, unworthy, imperfect. But if you've been baptized and if you're trusting in Jesus today, this morning, you have been made holy. God has declared you as holy because of what Christ did for you. And this has been his plan since before the beginning of time. This is good news, isn't it? Nothing we've done can change the fact that God loves you and has chosen you. He's loved us and chosen us and decided to adopt us since before the beginning of time, before the creation of the world. God's good plan. It's good news. But that doesn't mean that God's good plan was simple. God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 to be sinless, to enjoy being in his presence for all eternity. But we know what happened, don't we, when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit and disobeyed God? They had become full of the disease of sin and could no longer be in God's presence. They had to leave that perfect garden and go out into the cold, harsh world to wait for God to fix the mess they'd made. God was heartbroken to lose this relationship. Like a father watching his young child in the hospital struggle with cancer and slowly pass away. Like a father burying his child. Tears streaming down his face as he imagines the memories they could have had together. God's heart was broken as he watched Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden. But he wasn't surprised. Even though extremely painful, this was a part of his good plan. And he did have a plan for dealing with this brokenness and separation. Look at verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. The separation and brokenness that Adam and Eve introduced into the world could not be fixed by Adam and Eve. No amount of money, good works, blood, sweat, or tears could repair the damage they had caused. Only God's good plan could make the way for sinful humanity to be reconciled to the sinless God. And God did that when the time was right. On a chilly evening outside Bethlehem just over 2,000 years ago, the eternal and all-powerful Son of God was born as a delicate, precious little baby boy. That little baby boy grew up without ever breaking one of his Heavenly Father's standards of perfection. But he was accused of sin and put to a violent death on a cross between two criminals. We read this morning in Sunday school, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, for our sake. Jesus endured the full and complete punishment for sin. The verdict that we deserved, Christ took. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. It wasn't without tears and blood, but it was a part of God's good plan. And this had been a part of God's good plan since the beginning, since before the beginning. Verse 8 says, "He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding." Another translation says, "He has lavished his grace upon us in wisdom and insight." Since before the beginning of time, God knew you. God loved you, and God chose you, knowing full well what it would take to forgive you of your many sins and reconcile you back to himself. This is good news, isn't it? God's good plan for the present is seen in verse 10. It says, "And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth." God's good plan is that Christ will be king of everything. Our true king isn't our current president. It isn't our past president. It isn't our military strength. It isn't capitalism. It isn't sports. It isn't politics or entertainment. Our true king is Jesus. Jesus is the true king of everything. Everything, it says, in heaven and on earth, which includes us, doesn't it? Verse 11 says, "Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan." God's good plan isn't anything like our plans, something as silly as a stripped bolt or a sudden rainstorm can change our plans. But can anything stop God's plans? No. He makes everything work out according to his plan. Another part of God's good plan is giving us an inheritance. Verse 11 says that we, as Christians here this morning, have received this inheritance because we are united with Christ. What this means is that we are not only adopted as children of God, but we are also heirs of God. Heirs, H-E-I-R-S, of God. Just as the nation of Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament, every one of us here today who trust in Christ are also God's chosen people. We are heirs, just as they were. Every promise given to Israel, to God's people, is a promise to us. Verses 12 and 13 say, "God's purpose," or God's plan, "was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." This inheritance that God gives to you is God's plan for the present, but it's also God's plan for our future. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and probably the one whom we talked about the least, lives with us. He lives in us and through us. Verse 14 says that he is the guarantee that God will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. If it weren't for God, where would we be? All alone, surrounded by darkness, failure, and misery, wouldn't we? It reminds me of those verses in 1 Peter 2. And they say, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God's good plan in the past was to choose you and to love you and to redeem you. God's plan in the present is to name you and make you his child and his heir and give you all of the promises that a child of the heavenly king deserves. And God's good plan for your future is that he will save you and he will give you eternal life. This is God's good plan, and it's certainly good news, isn't it? The good news that God saves you. But maybe you're like me, thinking, okay, great, but I already knew that. I know that God loves me and that Jesus died for my sins. I'm a Christian. Check. I knew that. Let's move on. But here's the beautiful thing. We never stop needing to hear the gospel. We never move beyond the gospel to more advanced things. It is just as important for you to hear the gospel this morning as it was for when you were an unbeliever. Why do we need to be reminded of the gospel so often? Because we sin so often. Because we get prideful so often. Because we despair so often. Even after putting our trust in Christ, we are never able to go through life on our own. We are always totally dependent on the grace and mercy of God. And every time we forget about that grace, we slip into pride, doubt, or despair. That's why God, through the Apostle Paul here, wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus. Not to teach them new things, but to remind them of the good news that saves them. Jerry Bridges was a Christian author who wrote this line. He said, "Your bad days are never so bad that you are outside the reach of God's grace. And your good days are never so good that you are outside the need of God's grace." Ephesians 1 is all about God's good plan. It's a plan to bring you back to Himself at great personal expense. We all need to be reminded of this good news over and over and over again, because it's good news that we can't go without. To close, let's listen again to verses 5 and 6. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Amen.